With the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Taylor Hillman.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. It's a wet one out there for most of California, and that's good news after a relatively dry winter so far. Places in the Central Valley have issued flash flood warnings, so everyone please be safe. I read multiple reports yesterday that this storm could extinguish the fire season in Southern California, but again, especially in those fire areas, both in the south and the north, the rain has nothing to slow it down in those burned areas. So there are flood concerns out there, so everyone please be safe. We've got a lot of news coming out of the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual meeting. I'll be talking later today with the California Farm Bureau Federation, who was at the meeting yesterday to listen to Secretary Perdue and President Trump's address. So let's get to the headlines. President Donald Trump addressed the American Farm Bureau Federation annual convention yesterday, speaking on tax cuts and regulatory reform, along with a brief mention of the North American Free Trade Agreement and the Farm Bill, telling Farm Bureau members he supports passage of an on-time Farm Bill that includes crop insurance. Trump used the appearance to sign two presidential orders expanding access to broadband internet in rural America. But as Farm Bureau members spent part of the convention sporting "I support NAFTA" button pins, Trump made a small mention of NAFTA, saying his administration is working to renegotiate NAFTA to make the agreement better for agriculture.
We're reviewing all of our trade agreements to make sure that they are fair and reciprocal. Reciprocal, so important. On NAFTA, I am working very hard to get a better deal for our country and for our farmers and for our manufacturers. It's under negotiation as we speak.
Trump touted the just-passed tax reform and the relief he says it will bring farmers and ranchers. He pointed to estate tax changes, doubling the exemption, that he says will help keep farms in the family.
And from now on, most family farms and small business owners will be spared, and you're going to be spared, and it really is the word punishment of the deeply unfair estate tax known as the death tax, so you can keep your farms in the family.
In flaunting his work on reducing federal regulations, President Trump told Farm Bureau members that the administration is working to end regulatory assault on farmers' way of life. Trump says his administration is working to end regulations on farmers because they are the future of our nation.
For years, many of you have endured burdensome fines, inspections, paperwork, and relentless intrusion from an army of regulators at the EPA, the FDA, and countless other federal agencies. Is that right, by the way? That's why I'm truly proud to report that within our first 11 months, my administration has canceled or delayed over 1,500 planned regulatory actions or assaults, more than any president in the history of the United States.
Trump also commented on his work to bring a better transportation system to rural America, along with comments on work fighting the opioid epidemic. Commenting on the quote-unquote building the wall, there was a mixed crowd reaction.
We are going to end chain migration. We are going to end the lottery system. And we are going to build the wall.
Trump called farmers the basis of society and true friends of liberty, concluding his speech with saying, quote, "Farm country is God's country." George H.W. Bush was the last president to address the AFBF annual convention in 1992 in Kansas City, and before that in 1990 in Orlando. Now here's some California headlines, starting with Brian German.
An Ag Fire Recovery and Frost Refresher is scheduled for January 10th at the Ventura County Ag Museum. Vice President of Industry Affairs for the California Avocado Commission, Ken Melvin, is scheduled to speak on the preliminary damage reports to avocado orchards.
It is still very early for us to get a hard number of a true impact. Many of the groves that were within the path of the fire did suffer some damage. The extent of the damage to the trees is yet to be determined, and we just have to take some time to allow the trees to either respond or not respond. I can tell you that we've identified close to 5,000 acres within the fire perimeter, but not all of those acres suffered damage. Of those about 5,000 acres, current estimates are, and this is very, very preliminary, but we estimate about 1,250 to maybe 1,500 acres did suffer some level of fire damage. but we are still assessing that.
Stay with AgNet West for more information on avocado acreage affected by the Thomas Fire. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Proper sanitation remains the number one practice to combat naval orangeworm. Cooperative Extension Integrated Pest Management Advisor Emily Sims has talked to AgNet West about the practice many times in the past. She told growers at the 2017 Almond Conference that NOW damage was high last season, and it should serve as a stark reminder to why good sanitation is important. Here with Emily Sims, we've talked about this lots of times. Sanitation is a key practice in battling naval orangeworm.
That's absolutely right. It's the number one basis of our foundation for our integrated pest management program for NOW. And I mentioned in my talk today, and lots of people have said it before me, no amount of spraying is going to get you the low damage that you want if you don't have the foundation of sanitation. And 2017, the damage that we saw kind of across the board statewide is an absolute reminder of how important sanitation is. We had a really wet winter. In some cases, we got a little relaxed with sanitation because of the wet winter, and in many cases, we simply couldn't get in and do it. The higher damage we're seeing, double what's usual, in some cases, much, much higher than what's usual, is a reminder to the industry, hit the reset button, everyone get out and sanitize. It's the basis of your IPM program for NOW. No insecticides are gonna make up for that. Even the best spray program later in the season.
And we saw this year, like with the weather you talked about, growers need to do it when they can. Don't put it off. When you can get in there and do it, because you never know what's going to happen.
That's exactly right. Oftentimes, a little bit of rain and or fog events can help loosen the nuts. So coming in after that with the shaker. Almond growers, if you haven't gotten out to sanitize, take a look at the weather coming up. If we do have some fog or rain events and then some clearing, get out and do it. If you've done it already, congratulations. That's fantastic. But I really think we're going to see a lot of sanitation efforts this year.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AgNet West's Farm City Newsday. More agriculture news for you now.
Farm Club at UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine presents the 7th Annual Cattle Improvement Symposium on Saturday, February 3rd, as part of the 2018 Winter Conference. Registration and breakfast will begin at 7, followed by an official welcome in the Gladys Valley Hall lobby. The first sessions will feature information on SB 27 and updates on antimicrobial legislation, along with environmental issues and sustainability, followed by the morning break. Attendees will have the option to hear topics centered on beef or dairy. Beef discussions will focus on nutritional considerations for beef cattle, along with cattle handling. Dairy topics include calf pneumonia, along with data collection and analysis, and managing the transition period for success. Dr. Brett McNabb will talk about incorporating advanced techniques into your herd before the afternoon break. Registration is available online for the 7th Annual Cattle Improvement Symposium on Saturday, February 3rd. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, some attending the American Farm Bureau Federation's 2018 annual convention and Idea Ag Trade Show in Nashville, Tennessee, learned that 2017 ended on a good note for the livestock and poultry sectors, and the 2018 outlook is positive overall. That's according to James Robb, director and senior ag livestock economist for the Livestock Marketing Information Center. But he said there are concerns for both markets as uncertainty looms around trade agreements. But during the annual AFBF convention, Rob told workshop attendees that demand for meat has increased and Americans are expected to consume about 219 pounds of red meat and poultry per year. That's the largest since around 2007. But he also said as demand increases, quality will be more important than ever before.
We've been improving the quality of these cattle year after year. But if we wouldn't have had this improving quality of beef in the system, I bet you we couldn't have got as good a featuring as we did. This beef product compared to pork and chicken has improved dramatically. The pork industry now wants to have a quality grading system like beef because they know the quality is an issue. So this quality dimension needs to be well recognized. I'm an agricultural economist by training. Cost of production is very important. But don't forget about quality. If you lower the quality of the product in this beef industry, consumers won't pay the premium they're paying today. It needs to be tender. It needs to fit all these characteristics. So you worry about cost of production, but if the researchers or if you as a producer lower the quality of the product that goes through the system, we can't play this game where we are the thing on the front page of the advertisement. And pork's on the second page. I mean, the quality of the product should not be forgot. And, you know, there's a lot of issues today. I'm pretty thankful Farm Bureau's working on those issues. I mean, there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts and unknowns. And we can go through the recent news and talk about all these things. But it's a dramatic time. It's a time where we kind of came through rather unscathed in much of the red meat industry, certainly in the poultry industry. And the dairy industry, we marked time. It's been a lot worse. But we probably need to put that money this year with some view to the future, given these risks.
Rob also said exports have added value for cattle producers, adding an extra $66 per head. But uncertainty centers around deals like the North America Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, and the U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement. Rob said a lot went right for cattle prices in 2017, but we're still marketing calves against larger supplies. And a California man was arrested in Texas last month after being suspected of investment fraud, embezzlement, and cattle theft. Drovers Cattle Network is reporting that 36-year-old Justin Tyler Greer is suspected of defrauding seven victims out of $1.5 million. Investigators say cattle owned by investors were illegally sold and moved to Colorado and Wyoming. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West. AgriView with Ever Greiner is next.
You know, it's strange. One of America's most consumed food products is mislabeled. Give up? The hamburger? How'd he get that name? Where'd he originate? There's no ham in a hamburger. There's no pork of any kind. Hamburger patties are beef, all beef. Always have been. Had a short article, perhaps half a page, on the history of the hamburger. The author had no idea where or when the first hamburgers had originated, although he strongly felt it was somewhere in the U.S. When? No idea. Over 100 years ago, perhaps. Maybe the first ones were made with pork, ground ham to be precise. My thinking is, who cares? They're on the menu everywhere. But today, there is no pork, so no ham in a hamburger. Somebody needs to come up with an answer. We've been misled long enough, don't you think? That's AgriView for today. Everett Greiner, AgNet West.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We'll have more of the day's agriculture news in just a moment. And remember, you can always get the latest agriculture news from around the state and the nation at our website, agnetwest.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. In today's interview segment, AgNet West ran into our old friend Val Dulcini at the Almond Conference. Dulcini is former Farm Service Agency Director, who is now with the Pollinator Partnership, who partners with the Almond Board of California.
Sure, my name is Val Dulcini, and I'm the president of the Pollinator Partnership.
And can you tell me a little bit about Pollinator Partnership?
Absolutely. You know, the Pollinator Partnership is an organization that focuses not just on the honeybee, which is so important to California's almond industry, but on the lives of all pollinators. You know, there are 20,000 species of bee, Josh. A honeybee is but one of 4,000 species just here in the United States. So there are all kinds of important native pollinators out there, butterflies, birds, bats. There's even a species of beetle that pollinates. So making sure that we do everything that we can to promote and protect pollinator health is what my organization really focuses on. We do that through research. We do that through advocacy. We do that through habitat restoration. We do that through land stewardship. And at the end of the day, we're really an honest broker. We bring all kinds of people together, whether they're almond growers or land-grant universities or private citizens or beekeepers with one or two hives.
Can you tell me about your partnership with the Almond Board?
You know, we have worked with the Almond Board of California for some years. They obviously do a lot of great work around sustainability issues up and down the state of California. And we work with them on pollinator health issues generally and work in conjunction with some of the things that they do with organizations like Project APSM and the Honeybee Health Coalition. Maintaining a healthy hive population throughout California is obviously essential to an industry that provides over 100,000 jobs to the state, as well as billions of dollars in farm gate value.
And what are some of the biggest issues on the Pollinator Partnership's plate going into 2018?
You know, there are five P's, I think, that affect the lives of pollinators. That's pesticides and parasites and pathogens. Certainly, the loss of pasture is a very important one, too. That's habitat and nutrition. And then the pressures of climate change are another significant issue. I think we're at a time in our country's history, really the history of the world, where there's this confluence between pollinator health, climate change, and food security issues. That's what I spoke about today in the presentation, and that's what I'm hearing other production ag organizations and other organizations involved in pollinator issues talking about as well, from Maine to California, really throughout the North American landscape. Those are the three central issues that motivate us all.
And what else would you like to get out to California farmers across the state?
You know, I think that farmers have a great relationship with organizations like mine. We really provide them a valuable resource. We've got a wonderful website. It's pollinator.org. And for farmers or backyard gardeners or folks just interested in promoting pollinator health, they can go to the website. We've got some eco-regional planning guides. They plug in their zip code and figure out what grows best in their city or their backyard. And they can go from there. All of those resources are free. But as I mentioned before, you know, we're just a really great resource, I think, for California's farmers and ranchers, as well as farmers all across the country, for any number of different issues related to pollinator health.
U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue presented President Donald Trump the findings of the Interagency Task Force on Agriculture and Rural Prosperity yesterday at the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention in Nashville. President Trump signed an executive order establishing the task force to ensure the informed exercise of regulatory authority that impacts agriculture and rural communities. As Secretary of Agriculture, Perdue served as the task force chairman and identified over 100 recommendations to help improve life in rural America. The recommendations centered around five areas: e-connectivity, quality of life, rural workforce, technology, and economic development. Secretary Perdue issued a statement and said, quote, "Since his inauguration, President Trump has made agriculture and rural America a high priority. On the day he swore me into office, he tasked me with chairing the Interagency Task Force on Agriculture and Rural Prosperity, with the voice of rural America leading the way, and in close collaboration with local, state, and tribal leaders, 22 federal agencies, offices, and executive departments accepted the challenge to make rural America great again. We traveled to 30 states, held two RV tours covering over 2,200 miles, and most importantly, we listened to the people of rural America. While the task force worked tirelessly to identify solutions to problems plaguing our rural communities, there is more work ahead. No doubt, rural America has struggled under burdensome regulations with no voice in Washington, but under President Trump's leadership and with the work of his task force, we can turn that around and restore rural prosperity once and for all." American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall suggested a rethinking of what farmers consider the Farm Bill to be. As he opened the annual American Farm Bureau Federation convention this past weekend, Duvall says it's time to stop calling the Farm Bill a safety net for farmers.
If you're talking to a non-farm member, a friend, or a member of your family, and you're trying to talk them into being helping you support and be an advocate for a strong safety net for your business, what do you think they're sitting there wondering? What do you think they're thinking about? They're thinking about, well, if the federal government's going to give him a safety net, why is not he not going to give me a safety net? See, I think we got to stop calling it a safety net. I think we got to call it what it is, and it is a food security bill.
Duvall calls the Farm Bill a food security bill for everyone.
It's for every consumer across America. The Farm Bill is for conservation. Farm Bill is for rural development and our energy security. It's for research so that we can continue to increase production and meet the demand for the future. And yes, and it should continue to be for those low-income Americans who need an extra helping hand to put food on their tables.
AFBF held meetings throughout 2017 to gather input from farmers for the next Farm Bill. He says that input shows the importance of the Farm Bill to sustaining agriculture, more so given the current down economy farmers are facing.
One thing that came out of that input we gathered is that the risk management programs are critical to us. We need Congress to pass a farm and food security bill this year, and it is important to keep them together. Keep them together so that we can draw enough interest in Congress and enough support to get it passed.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We'll have more of the day's agriculture news in just a moment. And remember, you can always get the latest agriculture news from around the state and the nation at our website, agnetwest.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. Recapping our top news story, President Donald Trump addressed the American Farm Bureau Federation annual convention yesterday, speaking on tax cuts and regulatory reform, along with a brief mention of the North American Free Trade Agreement and the Farm Bill, telling Farm Bureau members he supports passage of an on-time farm bill that includes crop insurance. Trump used the appearance to sign two presidential orders expanding access to broadband internet in rural America. But as Farm Bureau members spent part of the convention sporting "I support NAFTA" button pins, Trump made a small mention of NAFTA, saying his administration is working to renegotiate NAFTA to make the agreement better for agriculture.
We're reviewing all of our trade agreements to make sure that they are fair and reciprocal. Reciprocal, so important. On NAFTA, I am working very hard to get a better deal for our country and for our farmers and for our manufacturers. It's under negotiation as we speak.
Trump touted the just-passed tax reform and the relief he says it will bring farmers and ranchers. He pointed to estate tax changes, doubling the exemption, that he says will help keep farms in the family.
And from now on, most family farms and small business owners will be spared, and you're going to be spared, and it really is the word punishment of the deeply unfair estate tax known as the death tax, so you can keep your farms in the family.
In flaunting his work on reducing federal regulations, President Trump told Farm Bureau members that the administration is working to end regulatory assault on farmers' way of life.
That's why I'm truly proud to report that within our first 11 months, my administration has canceled or delayed over 1,500 planned regulatory actions or assaults.
Trump also commented on his work to bring a better transportation system to rural America, along with comments on work fighting the opioid epidemic. Commenting on the quote-unquote building the wall, there was a mixed crowd reaction.
We are going to end chain migration. We are going to end the lottery system. And we are going to build the wall.
Trump called farmers the basis of society and true friends of liberty, concluding his speech with saying, quote, "Farm country is God's country." George H.W. Bush was the last president to address the AFBF annual convention in 1992 in Kansas City, and before that in 1990 in Orlando. Again, we'll be talking with California Farm Bureau representatives later on today to get their take on Secretary Perdue and President Trump's address at the convention. Canada's agriculture minister told U.S. farmers over the weekend that the North American Free Trade Agreement and trade overall are essential to prosperity for NAFTA member nations. Speaking at the 99th Annual American Farm Bureau Federation Convention, Canada's Minister of Agriculture and Agri-Food said the main objective is to do no harm to agriculture. He says the quote-unquote must-have success in the NAFTA renegotiation is an increased trade.
We don't want to lay any markers down that if we don't get this, we're not going to do that. The fact is, we are fully aware of the asset that NAFTA has been. What we're doing is making sure that our input does something to increase trade.
McCauley said it was a good sign that President Donald Trump was attending the AFBF event. He says that Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. needs to continue working together to supply food to not just each other, but the world.
The demand for food is going to be immense. The population is going to be 9 billion in 20-some years. We need to work together. We need to work together more. We work together well, but there's many things, as I indicated when I spoke, the regulatory process and other things that we need to work. And I think it's a continual task to keep working on these issues. But it's important that we work together. And doing that, we will put more money in the pockets of farmers and increase the GDP in all our three countries.
When asked about the dairy trade agreement between the U.S. and Canada, he would not say whether Canada would change its domestic dairy support program, as the U.S. dairy industry is demanding.
All I can tell you is, on the dairy side, as I've indicated publicly many times, and I'm sure you know this, is that we have what we consider to be a very stable dairy industry, poultry industry, and egg industry in our country, and we support it.
McCauley says Canada's dairy support program is fair and no different than support for other commodities by other countries.
Yes, but looking at the world and looking at what other countries do in other commodities, there are always small priorities, small issues in every country.
like sugar in the U.S., and other countries have other things. Agriculture is a touchy issue. Everybody wants to make sure that they take care of their agricultural sector, and that's what we intend to do, too.
McCauley is the first Canadian agriculture minister to speak to Farm Bureau members at the convention.
To get more information on topics you've heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. You can also follow AgNet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgNetWest. Follow Brian German @BrianAgNetWest and Taylor Hillman @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.